Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff. Today, I want to talk about competing against teammates. In the past, I've talked a bunch about competing against teammates in the gym, but today I want to go a little bit deeper and talk about competing against teammates in a tournament format. A couple of weeks ago, three of our ladies jumped into a 16-woman bracket for $1,600. And I feel as a coach, I didn't do my best. I didn't do the best job of communicating with them how they should go about training with each other leading up to this event. And this is a really tricky situation, especially when there's money on the line. Now, I'm going to talk about a couple of different scenarios where you may compete against a teammate in a competition. But I want to start with the money tournaments. So, as I said, you and your teammate are getting ready to enter a 16-person bracket for money. Well, this is what I'd recommend. First, there's two questions you have to ask yourself, okay? Do you know the bracket and how soon do you know the bracket before the event and what are the rules? So if you see the bracket 2 to 3 weeks before, prior to the event, it definitely changes my answer. So if me and one of my teammates are entering a 16-man under 170-pound tournament, and I see the bracket that we're on other sides, we're on opposite sides of the bracket. So the only way we'd face each other is if both of us won our three matches leading up to the finals, and then we'd face each other in the finals. Well, if that was the case, I wouldn't really restrict training with that teammate. You know, I don't think that you should restrict training in that scenario. I think you should train just as you normally would. However, there are a bunch of tournaments where if you and your teammate enter, they will put you and they'll make sure that you guys, maybe it's in the first round or definitely prior to the semifinals, you'll have to face one of your teammates. So a good example of this is ADCC. So in ADCC, if there's multiple teammates in the same bracket, you have to face your teammate before the semifinals. So Ty Rutolo had to face two of his Atos teammates to get to the semifinals of ADCC. And he ended up facing, I believe it was Pablo Mantovani and Bruno Forzato in the first two rounds. And those guys went to war against each other. I mean, they were at ADCC, that no teammate bowed out. Like, they went to war, and Ty ended up victorious in both matches. And I think if you're going into a bracket like that, like an ADCC, or, you know, you're going into like EBI, we'll say, because EBI is the same way. We just saw PJ Barch versus Nathan Orchard. They were on the same side of the bracket. Now, in 10th Planet as an organization, it's a lot easier to navigate this because, you know, while you're teammates, you're not actually like teammates in the same gym. And so you don't get to see each other's game. So you don't have to worry about this. But I would recommend if you're on the same side of the bracket that you limit training at least a week out, but preferably 2 to 3 weeks, especially like if this is a huge event, like you're going to ADCC or EBI or there's $5,000 on the line. Like, you don't want your teammate, like, especially if you have to go against each other in the first or second round, like, you don't want them seeing your A game and being familiar with your A game that close to the tournament. Now, the rule aspect is also super important because especially with EBI. So if you're doing EBI rule format bracket, then I think it's crucial you do not practice EBI OT with the person that is going to be in the competition. That's the last thing in the world you want to do. You do not want them to see, because so many of these matches come down to EBI OT, whether it's ride time or, you know, maybe you've got a killer armbar. You've got this setup that you have a lot of success with. You're getting a lot of quick taps. Well, if you're doing that to your teammate, you know, your teammate, like if that's your main training partner and they're getting to see that, well, they're obviously going to be very well prepared, especially compared to most of the people you would compete against to defend that arm lock. They know what grip breaks you like. They know how you like to defend it. They're also going to get a lot of confidence escaping your positions. And so, you know, if it does end up, maybe they decide like, hey, I'm trying to win this thing. I know that I'm better at EBIOT than my teammate. So I'm just going to force an EBIOT situation and I'm going to win this match there. And so I definitely would recommend not doing, you know, whether it, maybe it's even takedowns. Maybe you know that, because I think Third Coast Grappling, what they do is they pick a position. So if I chose standing, well, let's say I'm a better takedown artist, or again, I've got one or two takedowns that I'm super good at. Well, if I'm training those takedowns on that teammate, they're going to be more prepared and able to defend compared to, you know, especially if they're not getting to see it a couple of weeks prior. You know, they're not going to have my timing down. They're not going to have my setups because, I mean, I'm telling you, the difference between winning a match sometimes, the margin of error is razor thin. And so if you know, like, man, you know, I know Matt likes to do this takedown when he touches my right shoulder like this, I know he's going to shoot an arm drag to single leg. Like, I don't want you to see my setups and my timing that close to the event, especially in the overtime formats. So that's what I would recommend. Obviously, communication is super important. And you want to make sure that there's no hard feelings. Like, let's say teammates do end up having a match, especially in, you know, money's on the line, or, you know, whether money's on the line or an ABCC championship, you want to make sure that there was some communication so there's not hard feelings. And then when you get back to the gym, you know, things are awkward, and never want any of that. Now, some teams, okay, so like in 10th Planet, if you and a teammate enter a bracket, like, you're expected to compete against each other. Like, you go as hard as you want. If you don't tap, break it. Like, same thing as if you were competing against somebody from Gracie Baja or Alliance. Like, that's fine, right? But some teammates or teams, I should say, don't even allow, like, they'll only have one representative. Like, they do not want their students competing against each other. And if they do, then they'll do something where it's called bowing out, where they'll already have a predetermined winner beforehand. So this is super common in IBJJF. You'll see teammates get to the finals of a bracket, and you'll see one guy bow out to the other. So they won't even have a match. They'll just let the more senior guy, or they'll have decided. I've heard stories of these championships being decided on rock, paper, scissor, on, you know, like, number, like, okay, I got a number home behind my back. The coach does. And, you know, one or two. And a guy says two, and it's one. So the other guy gets to win the championship. Eddie always hated that. He thought that was unfair, especially for the athletes that have put so much into it. And he just, you know, so like Gracie Baja, they would do this if you're in any Gracie Baja and anywhere in the world. So you could have two athletes, like one trains at Gracie Baja Las Vegas and the other trains at Gracie Baja Atlanta. And if they met in the finals, even if they didn't know each other, they would be expected, like, one of them would bow out, and generally it would be the senior student, you know, whoever been with Gracie Baja longer, whoever had more stripes on their belt, or whatever, you know, whatever the criteria they decided was, that guy would get to take first place, and then the runner, the other guy would get silver. Now, occasionally you'd see a teammate, like, he had won so many times, like, this was true with Marcus Buchecha and Leandro Lowe. Like, Leandro Lowe needed to, like, complete his illustrious career, he needed an absolute championship. Well, these guys were training together. They were main training partners, and they've been main training partners for a long time. And they made it to the finals, and Buchecha let Leandro Lowe have the championship so he could have an absolute gold medal at the world championship. So super cool story, right? And it's cool, but make sure you kind of know, like, hey, 10th Planet, you're expected to compete against each other, right? No fake matches. Like, you go out there and whoever wins, wins. Well, in some of these other organizations, that's not what's expected. You know, you're expected to, you know, not compete against each other, or, you know, hey, like, we already have an athlete enter into this cash tournament, you cannot enter, you know? And sometimes they'll have kind of more of like a wrestle off where, hey, local tournament's coming up, $800 cash prize. We're having a four-person, you know, in-house blue belt tournament, and the winner gets to represent, you know, Atto. So the winner gets to represent, you know, one of a school like that. So that's pretty common as well. Now, another scenario that's taken place recently at 10th Planet was the PGF. So these guys were having to compete against each other week in and week out. And considering probably 10 of the athletes train regularly at 10th Planet Decatur, we had a lot of guys competing against each other. And in a situation where it was a, you know, season-long tournament, where there was, you know, tons of matches, we didn't restrict any of the guys from, competing against each other. Now, leading up to the tournament, like, I know Kevin and Joe didn't roll with each other. They knew based on their standings, they saw the bracket, and that was really nice. So they knew that they were probably, like, there's like a 90% chance they were going to have to go against each other in the second round. And so they actually stopped rolling with each other, I think, like a couple weeks out. And look, you ended up seeing, like, in a sub-only no time limit format, those two guys went for an hour and I think 11 minutes. And a lot of that was due to they just knew each other's game so well. Like, Kevin's got a couple of really tricky submissions that he likes, and Joe does as well. And they really neutralized each other. And I really think that was, a great, like, they communicate, like, they knew, like, both of them knew they didn't want to roll with each other leading up to that. And I think they handled it well. Now, for the guys, especially, like, during the regular season, all the guys trained with each other. I mean, as I said, since there were 10 guys, like, if you just go, hey, I'm not going to roll with these 9 other guys, well, you just lost a lot of training partners, and you lost a lot of valuable training partners. I mean, we do have a lot of color belts here, but at the same time, like, we don't have enough where you can just go, hey, I'm not going to roll with 9 of the colored belts here, 9 of the other colored belts here. I mean, that really would have just left, like, hey, I'm going to try and roll with, like, Scaff and Brandon or the guys over 200 pounds. And that's a bad strategy because, A, I'm not going to, give you the rounds you need. Like, yeah, we can roll, but I'll give you 1 round. I'm not going to give you, if you're looking to do 30 minutes, like, you're not going to roll 30 minutes with me. And I also don't want you rolling with the guys, the colored belts that are over 205 pounds because that's not a good strategy, especially with how grueling the PGF season was. So just, train with each other. And if you compete against them that week, then, maybe take that week off from rolling with that specific guy. But I thought everybody handled the PGF really well. And I think, honestly, the PGF, like, competing against, like, teammates competing against teammates, I think a lot of guys really got closer and they gained a lot more respect for their teammates. Now, the last scenario that has just taken place at 10th Planet Decatur was we had a local Naga. So we had guys go out, compete at a local Naga. It was like an hour and a half away. So it was in Nashville. And any local tournament, we tell guys, like, look, if you end up both in the under 170-pound beginner bracket for no gi at Naga, like, just compete against each other. Train with each other leading up to that event. This is all for practice. I mean, you are paying money to compete. Go out and compete. Have fun, learn from it. You either win or you lose. And I don't want to be one of those guys because I have been in the past and I hear a lot of guys kind of down talk like the local comp scene. They're like, oh, who cares about Naga? Who cares? No, it's a big deal. And I want you to care and I want you to win. But at the same time, the stakes aren't quite as high as these other two, especially when there's not cash money or a lot of notoriety involved. Like, just go out there and compete. If you end up against going against one of your teammates, then go out there, give it your best. If you win, awesome. If you lose, congratulate the guy and come back Monday and get back at it. So for those tournaments, you don't have to worry about it, in my opinion. Just go out there. You have a lot to worry about, whether it's cutting and making weight for the first, maybe it's the first time you're, like, going out to cut weight. Like, focus on that aspect. Focus on, dealing with the competition nerves rather than, hey, I might have to fight Johnny on Saturday. Oh, man, what if I fight Johnny? He's my teammate. Like, who cares? Go out there. Anybody they face in front of you, face and win or lose, shake their hand after the match. I guess, honestly, the last one, I should say, and we haven't had one of these in a long time, but we used to have in-house tournaments frequently. I mean, like, every quarter we would have an in-house tournament. So when I was coming up in the jiu-jitsu ranks at white, blue, and purple, I competed in a dozen, like, hey, we're having a local little tournament. So we might invite, like, a couple of other schools, especially, like, guys that were kind of training under Brandon. And, like, 10th Planet Muscle Shoals would come. Some guys from Tennessee would come. But we do a little in-house tournament. And obviously, you're competing against your teammates. So I competed against my teammates quite a bit coming up in those little local, tournaments just at our gym. And it was super valuable, Some of my best tournament performances came, we would do a mock tournament a little, you know, in-house tournament before a bigger tournament. So before we'd go out and do something like a Naga or even like something like an ADCC trials, back then we would do an in-house tournament, and they always helped me get my nerves out. And I felt like it helped me get better at competing, you know, just going in there, giving it my best against my, you know, my teammates. And at that time, you know, I'm trying to make a name for myself, and I'm trying to prove to Brandon that I'm one of his best students, if not his best student. So, you know, I would go in there, like, honestly, sometimes I'd be a little bit more nervous for the in-house tournament because, you know, I'm competing against the guys that, you know, we're all trying to get promoted. We're all, especially at that time, everybody was trying to be like Brandon's first purple belt or Brandon's first brown belt or black belt. And so I'd put a little bit more pressure on myself for an in-house tournament. But I think it is important that, you know, if you have an in-house tournament at your gym, sign up and compete against your teammates. Learn how to compete against your teammates. Then go out, start doing the local competitions. After you start winning some local competitions, I would recommend at purple belt, you start thinking about some of these cash tournaments. But, you know, I guess if you have an opportunity as a white belt to win money, occasionally they'll do some white belt super fights or some blue belt super fights or a blue belt 8-man bracket. I mean, I guess enter, but I would not enter that if you have not come up through the tournament scene. So if you've not done a couple of in-house tournaments, a couple of local tournaments, I don't think you have any business jumping into an 8-man blue belt bracket. Like, you should have competed at least 6 or 7 times in other events before you think about, you know, jumping in into a cash bracket. But really tricky, as I said, like navigating this, like especially if your gym's not like regularly doing tournaments, you know, so maybe you don't know what, you know, is expected of you. Like, hey, like, am I supposed to even fight my teammate? Are we supposed to be training together? Like, how am I supposed to, you know, handle this on top of all the pressures that come from competing? Well, just don't make it weird, okay? Worst thing you could do is just communicate, you know? The best thing you should do is communicate. Talk to your coach. See how in the past athletes from that gym have dealt with competing against each other. And if there's anything like you need to know, like, hey, are we a school that, you know, I've been really having my eye on this tournament, this local tournament coming up, but I know, you know, Susie, she's really interested in jumping in this. Like, is Susie going to get to represent? Like, can we have multiple representatives? Because you can ruffle some feathers if you do break decorum. So if your school does have a way they handle this and you go against it, like, honestly, you can get kicked out. You can definitely ruffle a lot of feathers, and honestly, people will be really, really pissed at you if you go against, you know, hey, we've always done things this way. You don't want to break the tradition, especially at some schools. So I hope that helps, guys. And I'm definitely going to do a better job next time, you know, just making sure I'm communicating with, you know, the athletes and doing a better job of, you know, making sure that they're getting the training they need and that, you know, hey, maybe one of the athletes, like, hey, I don't want to train with that person for a couple of weeks leading up. You know, I want to train with other people. We might go against each other. Now, some people might be completely fine doing that, but I definitely would know the rule set. Get the bracket as early as you can, and especially if it is something like an EBIOT, do not do EBIOTs with the people you're getting ready to compete against. Do not do that. Hope you guys have a great Christmas week. I've got plans on Thursday and Friday, so I'm excited to see family. I'm a big gift giver, so I've got a couple of gifts that I'm excited to give. I hope you guys get to spend time with your loved ones this season. Man, life is so much better when you have people you care about and you get to spend quality time with them. Till next time, guys, peace.